If you will, our scripture is on the back of your bulletin, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. One version says, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the heart of the heart to the God, to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of His Word and of our hearing of it. You know, Paul of Tarsus was just a great writer, great letter writer, or maybe it would be more accurate. It is for sure much more accurate to say that Paul paid particular attention, excellent attention, to what the Holy Spirit was prompting him to write, to word his letters carefully and spiritually, because it was what God was prompting him to write. And I don't know, possibly God was impressing him all along as he was writing that these were instructions from the Lord of life to people of then, and also to people who would make up Christianity for many, many generations to come. And so we do. We recognize this letter to the Ephesians and so many other letters of his as the inspired Word of God. Understanding the letters, the epistles of Paul in that way, we look to this letter, to our text verses of today from this letter, to find Paul calling on the disciples of Jesus Christ, that is, the disciples of the church, in the city of Ephesus, to walk in a manner worthy of their calling. Well, you find that in the previous chapter, in Ephesians 4. Verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And he continues for the next 15 or so verses, from verse 2 through 16, to draw a picture of that calling. In verse 16, Paul uses as a comparison for the way the work, the way the church works, for the working of the church. He compared that to the parts of the human body and how they work together. The 16th verse says, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then he continues in the next 8 verses, verses 17 through 24 in the 4th chapter, verses that is that we've broken it down in biblical text to call those verses to illustrate what the pagan world that is surrounding them in their own city. Ephesus was one of the most pagan cities there was. What the pagan world is doing and how to walk differently from them. And the way to walk, to live together as Christians with many parts, with as many people, functioning individually as the body of the parts of the body do, that way to walk, to live, that way is to walk together in this life, as our body stays together, you see. Verses 23 and 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That kind of a body. To sum up what that renewed spirit is, Paul puts forth his favorite and his basic theme, to live together in love. He says, chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. But Paul doesn't stop there. Continuing in the first part, the first several verses of chapter 5, he urges them to walk in love, but then to walk in the light. He says, now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And again, as he does so well, and for better understanding, Paul shines the light on the opposite, what living in the darkness is about. He says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Fruitless deeds, he says. So with all of that as prelude or as preface, we get to the words of our text, beginning in chapter 5 with verse 15, and Paul encourages them to walk with wisdom. Pay careful attention, he says, then, to how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. You see, he knew quite well what the pagan culture that was characterizing Ephesus, the challenge that presented for people to live, to faithfully walk the Christian life. But he also knew quite well that such a challenging culture offered clear opportunities to serve God and to serve others. And Paul urged them to seize every opportunity. But you know, the Bible is not just about, for instance, Ephesus and those people and the challenge to the church there. That is, for us, just interesting history. We don't read Ephesus as just history. That biblical history is unique literature in that Paul's insights, his assessment of the light of Christ over against the darkness of the pagan life in Ephesus is absolutely, and we get now away, it's absolutely just as relevant to us today, right here in southern Illinois. We live in a culture, in a society, in 21st century America, that is just as dark in many places as it was in pagan Asia Minor. Well, tell me if this doesn't sound like many a Saturday night in Carbondale. Now, this is scripture. You must no longer live as the Gentiles, as the non-Christians do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, I don't know this firsthand, and I'm not suggesting that you do either, but from what I've been told by my law enforcement friends and some others of our fair city, I believe those characterizations that I just read could easily be said about a lot of the population of Carbondale, and unfortunately, about much of America. So let's all pay attention to assessment and instructions from the inspired man of God, Paul. Because we have a brand new year right upon us. And this is a great time for us to seize our opportunities and to resolve to do it right in 2020. Paul issued a call to walk in wisdom. Pay attention then, he says, to how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Not unwise, but wise. What does that mean? to live, to walk as wise people? What does he mean? Well, the wisdom of Paul is astonishing here. It is not an intellectual achievement, but it is a mindset in which you seek to do only those things which are pleasing to God. Conversely, of course, unwise living is doing those things that are not pleasing to God. We are to do. We're not to just sit around. As followers of Christ, you are called to snatch up any and all opportunities that are available for us to do God's will. And I guarantee you, there are opportunities out there. Well, there are opportunities out there that we're not grabbing up yet. But you know that, don't you? Well, we can talk about the ones we've grabbed. Information from the Cherokee Nation and what's going on with these wonderful folks who have helped out there, and the Dunnings who've done so many things. There are still many opportunities. Pay careful attention then to how you live, making the most of every opportunity. Well, take this for example. Some people watch the stock market with intense interest because they are eager. They try to buy at the right time and sell at the right time. And that's what I mean by intense interest. They do this in order to seize bargains, to gain a profit. Well, the apostle was encouraging this same type of intense interest, of energy, of ingenuity, concerning seizing spiritual opportunities for service to God. We are to seize an opportunity for service in our Christian setting, that is, whenever and wherever we find it, in the same manner that that financier that I was just talking about buying his stock would seize a bargain in the stock market. But the early Christians, such as those there in Ephesus, seized every opportunity that they could, and they outlived, they outthought, and they outdid their pagan contemporaries. We know that from history. Well, that's the kind of Christian pursuing of opportunity our own generation needs. Now, I'm sad to think about it, but I'm sad to recall this. You may remember this because it's only been the last couple of years that this happened. Do you remember the horrific floods they had out there in Texas? So many were completely flooded out of their homes. They lost so much. And do you remember one of the very big incidents of witness? Unfortunately, it was a negative Christian witness that took place. It was one of the largest churches in America that chose to shut their doors during those days so that no one would come in and mess up their nice church. It was a sizable, seizable opportunity that was not only not seized, it was negative witness for what the church is supposed to be, ministry for the love of Christ. That was a huge opportunity. But there are so many, not so large in scope, opportunities, but still real opportunities to be seized out there every day. And this is a call then to a serious acceptance of our God-given time and stewardship. It's a call for a great New Year's resolution as 2020 is right upon us. Not one of us has had as much time as we probably think we've had. It's actually later than we tend to think. And our opportunities rapidly slip away from us when we don't pay attention. And this is a truth that we sometimes deny. But the truth is, each of us has an equal amount of time every day. We all have 24 hours every day. The call then is each of us must make the most of our time. We need to stress the importance of the present and become intensely aware of the value of life and of time. And this would help us to learn what really matters and what really doesn't. You see, time is loaned to us by God to be used in His ministry, in His service. I think when we look at time this way, as an event, as a vehicle, as a gift given to my life from God, then time has some new and possibly different perspectives. Time is very precious. This time, what I'm doing right now was given to me by God. Thus, what I'm doing with the time I have right now has a certain value. And since I won't have this very specific time again, and I'm just going to use myself as the example here right now, I need to use it as profitably as possible. Here's my time right now. I have been given some time to preach the gospel to a friendly family group of people. So, as I began, I asked God to help me give you, family group of people, some thoughts from God of value for your life, for each one of you. So, if this time is the same for you, if it's precious for you right now, what's your focus? Is it listening to a pastor who has asked the Spirit to guide what he's presenting? Or is it using these current moments to try to think about where you're going to go for lunch? Or using these current moments, and if we had a younger group of people, this would possibly hit home, to check and see if you have a message on your cell phone yet. What is precious to you during these last few moments that we've just had together? Because all time and what I'm going to do with it is precious. Amen. Am I or am I not using it in service to God? Mm-hmm. And time is passing swiftly. The time I had 3 minutes ago is gone. Mm-hmm. Already used up. The time you had 3 minutes ago is just as gone as mine is. And did either of us use that time in dedication to the service of God? Time is very uncertain. Neither you nor I know right now what time will present to us an hour from now. We can plan, we can suppose, but whether what we think is going to happen an hour from now happens is very uncertain. I tend to think planning your time, preparing yourself for what might happen an hour from now, will make that much more likely to happen. So, is there a future time you want to specifically give as servants to God more likely to make it happen? I think so. And if I don't look ahead, isn't it less likely that I will serve God really well and to His pleasing than if I had planned ahead? Mm-hmm. Because time once gone cannot be recalled. Amen. Amen. If I didn't get it done back then, I haven't gotten it done yet. The opportunity that was once there is gone until I try again, if I ever do. So time is something for which we are accountable. We must see it that way. And wisdom is the insight that our accountability for time, as it has gone, or for what we are now doing, is always accountable to God. And that's a wisdom truly understood by one who follows Christ. That then calls us, compels us, in our daily walk to make good use of time. Yesterday can't be recalled. Tomorrow can't be assured. Only today, only this time right now is mine. Only this time right now is yours. If we procrastinate, we lose the present. Do you know anyone who is typically always procrastinating? Isn't that person someone who you find sort of, well, maybe in a big way, frustrating? Well, why is that frustrating to you? Because when you wanted them to have gotten something done, it wasn't done yet, and what should have happened now still wasn't done, and you or anyone else still had to wait. Still didn't know if it was going to get done. What do you suppose God's response is to a procrastinator? Well, that brings us to an important question. What time is it? I really don't know how any of you individually would answer that. But since I have the privilege of the pulpit right now at this time, I'm going to propose what time it is. I mean, other than the obvious, you know, 3 days until 2020. It is time to open your heart wide to the good news of God's love for you. Open your heart right now. It's time to renew, or maybe for someone here today, to right now put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as well as to be your leader and teacher. It's time to do the good that your heart is calling you to do. It's time to speak to others the words that need to come from your heart and from your lips to them. It was Jesus Himself who said, "You are to be my witnesses." It's time to become or to increase in your role as a giver. What I'm saying is for each of you to define your purpose as a servant of God in terms of becoming a contributor, a helper, a giver. To be a person whose relationship to Christ Church or Bosquedale Baptist Church, to be very specific, is not what can the church do for me, but rather what fits me, what fits my time to be given in service to God through this, His church. Well, my dear friends, the countdown is on. Well, here's a secret. It's always on. But right now, we are consciously counting the hours that remain in 2019. So here's my advice. It's a good time for you to see the time, and as one who serves Almighty God, to seize any opportunities to do what God is leading you to do now, this day, this moment, and to make that a pattern for your Christian life in this new year coming right up. Seizing opportunities to serve your God in His name and to serve others in His name.